let's go ahead and get started. And we'll start again with that song that's left on. I guess if y'all want to add, tell your elders the other night. They come out if you want to. Come back sometime if you want to. Chuck, you may live more than you know this song. Well, we've got a couple of words first. Does this work? Is this working? Uh-oh. Technical problem. How do you call tech folks? Hey, Hey, Tom. You got to turn it on? Is that? You got to tell me you're back. All right. If we turn it on, it works better. Okay. Good. Okay, this song, Mitch.
You know that later?
I'll start it anyway. You can't react to it. It's a song of life, giving the life. You know, it's reference to me, what we're about to do is looking at God's word. Remind us of holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world. They resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us hope. In this world, wherever we roam, ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Holy words of our faith, handed down in this age, came to us through sacrifice. Oh, heed the faithful words of Christ. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Okay. Let's go ahead and finish the questions, as we mentioned, from last week, and then we'll go into a quick review, and then we'll have some time to talk about whatever you want to talk. We'll wait all this time to talk. Okay. Where's we at? Steve. Who will read the answers for us? Can you read? Okay, now, Henry's going to read the answer. So, if it's wrong, it's called Henry's going to read it right. These are my answers, so you may have a different answer. It's okay. All right. After his successful meeting with Esau, what was the next major occurrence in Jacob's life? It occurred at or near a river, stream, or brook. What was the next major? After his successful meeting with Esau, you remember something happened right after that. The next big event, it happened at a brook. In some translations say stream. Don't say a river. What happened? Okay. Henry's time.
He wrestled with an angel.
All right, that's what happened after the meeting with Esau, and he traveled on down towards the promised land. He wound up wrestling with an angel. Okay, next question. At what brook or stream did Jacob wrestle with the angel? Okay. Did everybody hear the answer? Jacob, yeah. Okay, can you hear that?
At the stream or brook called Jacob. Notes, the definition of the term brook, stream, or river actually depends on the place in the world where the river was named. updated, common, descriptive definition follows. We can step over a brook, jump over a creek, wade across a stream, and swim across a brook.
That's just a side note. I thought that was an interesting definition. I looked at, what is a brook, and what is a stream, and what is a, and it was called brook. The translation I have says, calls it the brook, and so I put that in there, Jabbok. Okay, what happened there? What two results came from Jacob's wrestling with my angel? What is the end result, at the end of the day? I mean, that's the end of the time they were wrestling. What two, at least two, maybe more, but two things that happened.
Sword.
Yeah, he came away with a sword tie. Steve, I just asked you to read these, and you weren't here, so I passed it over. Okay, I'll let you read the answers, okay?
His hip was dislocated, and his name was changed to Israel.
Okay. Next question. What does the name Israel mean? Israel. Okay.
God contended, or God prevailed.
Now, I wanted to ask you, what's the application of this lesson in our life? Some sermons here. The application of Jacob wrestling with God and deity, or the angel in this case. He wrestled. I think this is a picture of us wrestling with our own desires versus the desires of God. That's one application. There's also, Jacob was not a perfect man. We noticed that. And so he had some things that he needed to repent of, whether that was part of it or not. But no, but definitely he was wrestling with God. We'll say some more about this in slide 21. Okay, side question. What did Jesus tell Paul that parallels Jacob's wrestling efforts? And you may not know that off the top of your head in Acts 26, verse 14, but I'll start it and you finish it for me, okay? It is hard for you to wrestle against the Lord. I think it is the king. What does the scripture say? The pricks, okay, the goads, and sometimes, what is a goad, by the way? It's a sharp pointed stick, okay? Jesus was telling Paul, you're wrestling against me, and it's hard for you to do that, because you're going to do what I want you to do, basically. And so I'll stick you with this goad, in other words, that's kind of the message there. You're going to go. You may not want to go where I want you to go, Paul, but you've got to do it. So it's hard for you to wrestle against me. Why don't you just give up and let God have his way? That's kind of the thought. Same thing with Jacob, I think. Jacob was wrestling with God for some reason through the angel in
him. The love thing of Paul that he was receiving punishment that he had put on the Christian. He had to go back into the way of them, and they scared him, and they were trying to kill him.
Right. And the Lord is re-emphasizing, hey, it's not going to be easy for you.
And he didn't want that.
Yeah.
And God said, well, you're going to do it anyway. As it was said, Jack was ready for the sheep. He'd come back to us.
And come back. Kind of like you committed the sin, God has forgiven you. If you murdered somebody, you still got to go to prison.
Yeah.
Whatever. Brought out the question.
It is hard for you to kick against the goat.
Okay, well, the pricks are the stick, the sharp stick. No, the ox goat, and I already explained this, so we'll go ahead. I want to flash that. That's what I just talked about, what a goat is. Okay, next question. What does the word suck off mean?
Suck off.
I don't think it was in the, maybe it was in the questions that I passed out. Study questions, I'm not sure if I can get in or not.
This was the first resting place for Jacob and his people as he returned to Canaan from 14 plus years in Mesopotamia.
He had been in Mesopotamia, working for Laban, and
But he was winning, and he called him, he said,
If the Lord didn't want him to win, he could have stopped him.
But it kind of also shows God's patience for us. You know, we can go our own way. Really bad. Yes, ma'am. And it's hard to say, well, I'm glad I've got this, Oh, God's making patience. Tribulation works patience. And he gives us faith. I have a piece of faith. If we got in front of the Lord, we'd be in the trouble. We'd be a mess, but we'd think that everything would be like small kids.
Yeah, that's a story control. If you give a young man everything he wants, and a pig everything he wants, what do you have? A bad boy and a good pig.
Very good, Jacob. All right, here we go. What was Esau's attitude toward Jacob when they met at Peniel?
Esau exhibited no hatred for his brother. He ran to him, embraced him, kissed him, and they wept together.
Now, this one, I have some thoughts about this one. Esau just had good at heart. The Lord.
Well, we know earlier that it's an intent. So again, a very serious argument for the passage. Sometimes it does take a good measure for, again, for there to be a calming down. And then you realize, hey, it could have been solved. And if you think it's not a good
thing. Okay. Did you read that already?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought you did. All right, here we go. Who took Dinah? Any name or word? You can need one of each. One of the name, the other name, or the people's name, or Shechem. The son of Hamor, the Hebite.
Shechem. The son of Hamor, the Hebite, the prince of the land.
Okay. We're still in the land of the Canaanites, in the broad term. And so they were in control of this place. And this was maybe a governor or something. I'm not sure exactly what his position was, but he was a man of standing, and he allowed family to be in the general area. And then, of course, something happened here though, when Dinah got captured. Describe the sins of Jacob's sons as they avenged their sister's defilement. Of course, she was defiled. That's a sad story. I mean, it's sad, sad. Every which way you turn it, sad. It's sad for the girl who was defiled. She was, you know, nobody would probably have her if she was defiled by someone from the land. And he wanted to take her, love her. And you wonder why he didn't, let that happen. But the sons of Jacob, of course, got very angry about it, took revenge on them, killed them all.
Jacob's sons lied to Shechem and his father Hamor, and his brothers plotted to kill them while they were healing from circumcision. Simeon and Levi killed them all and looted their city.
So he promised them a will. They were promised that they could be part of Jacob's. Yeah, well, that, of course, was not theirs to stop. But second of all, they did leave them, but, well, okay, we can do that.
I got to give it to him for doing that alone, for making that step. it really wasn't theirs to give or decide.
A lot of people heard from this story. And what happens next? How did Jacob react to the massacre of Hamor and Shechem and his son? How did he react?
And bring all the nations over
the people. He was very, he wasn't happy about it.
You read that. He was upset with his sons. Note that he said, they have brought trouble on me. He was also afraid of the local inhabitants of the land.
Okay, so, yeah. He had reason to be afraid of the inhabitants of the land now. But also, he needed to remember that God's going to take care of him. But, you know, I think he has good reason to fear the people of the land for what his sons did. Next question. Who called Jacob to Bethel? Okay. Where was Benjamin born? Okay.
Okay. Okay. Y'all said it.
That helped, doesn't it? Somebody said it. What has happened? What else happened to Ephraim related to mama passed away from the birth, from Benjamin's birth. That was, he had a brother. What's his brother's name? Did Benjamin have a brother? I mean, a full brother. He had several other brothers. What full brother?
Joseph.
She passed away.
Which was died from childbirth. Or childbirth.
From the childbirth, yeah, okay.
Do we know how old she was?
I think he says in the scripture, but I don't recall it off that many. Oh, yes, she was. How old was she in the first one? We look at that. Somebody look at that while we're going on. I don't know if it's there or not. But she was an older lady, for sure. She'd had 12. No, she didn't herself have them. She didn't have them, but the family had 12. In the family. So Tracy had 12 children coming from the family. Okay. Okay, while Jacob was in Bethel, God blessed him again, but this time he changed something. What did God change? He changed Jacob's name.
God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Actually, this was a
reiteration.
Reiteration of his words recorded in Genesis 23 to verse 28 after he wrestled with the angel.
Okay, it mentions in that scripture that God changed his name to Israel, but this is a reiteration of that. So it becomes cloudy as to what the exact time was, but it was reiterated here at least. Israel. God prevailed. God blessed. What does the name Israel mean in the Hebrew language? Anybody know? You said it. Israel, which means he who prevails with God, or God, may God prevail, depending on the context of word in the family. It's come to what now is the nation of Israel and Jacob himself. Okay. I don't know if I passed these out to you. I passed this out to you. There's, if you wanted to look at that a little closer, I put the URL there that you go to on the internet. I checked it up on the internet.
Well, internet is a good thing. It sure is.
When I used to did do all my books to find an answer, now I can most of the time go to the internet, and if it's reasonable, we can go there. Okay. A short summary of you are certainly in Genesis. Okay. Do you remember what we first started out? Of course, we started in Genesis 1. What happened in Genesis 1?
Creation.
Okay. And then we got down to the point, though, where we looked at this slide. If you recall it, let me see if I can find this point without turning it off. Yeah. Okay. Did the show up there? Did not show up? Okay. But anyway, I point my finger always shows up. So.
This line here being, what does it call it? What do we call it? And what does the scriptures call this line from Cain and all of his descendants? It's called the daughters of men. And on this side, it's called the sons of God. Okay? And so this line that we destroyed in the flood, and this line is the scarlet, it's beginning what we call the scarlet thread. The promise of Abraham and the covenant of Christ and that lineage from Seth all the way down, that's what we started studying at that point. We
We began to focus on individuals at Genesis chapter 6. We started following the scarlet thread that went into people from Noah through to Jacob, as far as we got. You know, Joseph carried more than Mary, his love, to bring us to the scarlet thread of that lineage of Christ. Then came the flood. Anybody notice how the flood is running back and forth? It's the water washing off of the flood. Then came the flood. All right, now, the travels, I call it the travels of Noah's family, okay? From Mount Ararat down to Mesopotamia. See the two rivers? That's what the name of this area is. It's presently Iraq. It's land between the rivers, these two rivers, the Tigris River and the Euphrates River. Okay? And so they came generally down to this area from Mount Ararat after the flood. Okay? And down here somewhere is a city called Ararat. What happened to the river? All the peoples of the world died in the flood except Noah's family. The family's first migration was to Mesopotamia, where they decided to build a huge tower into the heavens. The tower was called Mount Babel. My son said, "Hey, I want to sign up for a language course." He mentioned the word Babel today. I think that's why they named that language for Babel. Maybe this sentence was. But anyway, it's about language being confused. And people migrating to other parts of the world. The topic of the silver side, just a second about that. Now, here's the scarlet thread coming from Noah, Shem, to his five sons, but particularly to the Arphaxad, Eber, and then Terah. Remember this, who Terah it was? So that's the lineage showing we drop off these books, they bring the goats over there. I show them this arrow that show up there, so I put a copy on the top of it. When the language was confused, and the Lord spread them over the earth, we read that in Genesis 11. We find that the descendants of Japheth, Shem, Ham, and Japheth means the sons of Noah. Japheth went up to North Europe in that area. Shem had two different directions he went to, up to the Caspian Sea. There were some, but mostly we're looking at these that came down towards the, this is Shem's folks, also these things came down to the Arabian Peninsula, and particularly to Canaan in this area. All these are Shemites. We'll also give the word Semites, but Shemites probably be better pronunciation. Okay, so Shemite language. Interesting enough that traceback languages, they all go back to three different groups of language. Romanized languages up into the north, and then these languages, the Shemites, of the Semites, or Arabic, for example, Aramaic, Hebrew, all those languages there. And then down this way to the Vedas, Ham came in this direction. Mesra is the Arabic word. Mesra is the actual name for Egypt. Yet the Arabic woman says, I'm in Mesri. They call it Mesri. And Mesra is the son of Ham. Ham went in this direction, in the other part of Africa. Okay? So, we talk a little bit about that. Then the tribes of Abraham, here in the Terror of Galilee, in the land between the rivers, it's on this southern bank, actually, of the Euphrates River. He traveled up from there with his father up to Haran. And here's a look at the route Abraham traveled. The yellow started to pick the main city here as he passed through from Earth in Mesopotamia to Haran. Back down through Palestine, the Promised Land, to Egypt. That's Abraham now. And back to Palestine or the land of the Promised Land to Hebron, where he died in 175. That's what we lost that for a little bit. And then we looked at this with Isaac's travels. Who's Hebron? The travels of Isaac's on the seventh. We listed that. And he stayed in the Promised Land area. He did not go down to Egypt. He didn't Isaac. He does go up to back up to the West Bank, but he's a little dangerous. Well, there's the map that's supposed to make sense.
You make it for yourself,
doesn't it? You've got to copy it. This is the map, generally. His route started here. We were born here, got that up to blue, which is where we are. And then we've got a little three progression four. That kind of helps me when I'm reading through Genesis to figure out where he's at. And he says he went somewhere to have this in front of him. I can't picture this. I have some kind of graphic. Now, a real question already. We've already done this lesson. All right, back up a slide. Nope. Don't say that. Okay. Back up a slide. Now, is it? Yeah. Oh, it's still different every time. What is there that you want to tell me? I'll tell you mine, okay? Unless I'm ready. Are you ready to talk about what you learned in Genesis that you didn't know before? Anybody? Okay, I'll give you two examples of mine. One of them's a big printer, and one of them's a very small printer. One is God. There's a place where God, a certain people, that God said it was not time. Their wickedness had not had been fulfilled. They were not fully people, fully evil. Did God wait for them to turn more evil? No, I don't think so. But he waited to give them time to repent. So I looked at that entire passage you can prove the thought. And another example of this happening is in the story of Jonah. And Nineveh.
Yeah.
He gave them time. He gave them time to repent. He didn't give them time to get more evil, but it did. So he did. Opened up the entire series of thoughts. The second thing that, very minor, Jebok. And this is because I'm very interested in words and the industry, particularly in the Arabic, I'm using Aramaic, which is a very tender thing. The Arabic word for that is Zechar. It's River Zechar, or Maha Zechar, which means blue. And I picked that up all by myself. There's another example of the fade off to study this Arabic language. Okay, now, what is there anything that you can say, hey, I didn't know that before? Or I guess it's something not quite so clear.
I kind of like, you mentioned that God's time was not right yet, and that he waited. I kind of sometimes look at it in the sense that he waited until there weren't enough followers of his anymore. Like you said, he's long suffering and he waits for people to repent. And I agree with this, but I also think God waits until there is really no hope. Maybe I think that there's anybody else going to repent and come to him, or until the world has just gotten so evil.
But then this argues against the doctrine of predestination. They could have changed.
They could have changed.
God,
they did
them around.
But if there were less and less followers of Christ as time passed, until only very few were left. And maybe God said, well, it was time. People are not going to repent. They are not going to follow me, so it's time.
The flood itself also.
Because it says, every part of were evil at that point. So I think if there is no more, I guess I'm not normalizing this, but anyway,
I think you are.
that, people reach a stage, and I think we're going in that direction now. There are more and more people that leave God. Let me put it this way. Instead of, there should be more and more people that, turn to God.
But the lessons of the Bible teach us, even though there are not good things in those places, judgment of God comes to mind. For example, Sodom and Gomorrah, and then Abraham was looking for a righteous person.
It teaches you that every soul matters. And there's one soul that can be converted, God's willing to wait and say that.
Right.
That each and every one of us has value.
Mm-hmm.
Sodom and Gomorrah is a good example, because that if I can keep growing the number of people, if I can just find any human soul, if I get down to one righteous soul, we can say it's it. But with this, with Genesis, and even today, each one of us count. So as long as we can be converted, as long as we can do the will of God, He's willing to wait. And I think that's what it
is. Long suffering for the world.
Again, if they get taken out, so we can argue not in any negative way, not in any meaningful way, and argue on behalf of someone else, brother-in-law, sister who's lost, a family member, and some of the other things that I guess I picked up on this study, that it appears that I should not make any important business decisions around.
Okay. Hey, not certainly if it's a big bowl of beans that you really want.
Lentil and asphalt. Lentil, our tasty goat. You know, be wary. But also, too, that unfortunately we see that the dealings of family, how someone can be misled. How someone can make the best decision based on false feedback. And even then, we're still not removed from the destruction of the problem. No matter how innocent you may be, how righteous you may be from that, that we will suffer. And I guess that's the lesson for us to learn. That we will and can suffer for what somebody else has done.
And our family.
And our family. Our family, our media family. And not only that, but also in our spiritual family. You know, we see another example in the Bible. If they're sitting in a camp, how do you get to sin out of camp? And that means looking at them in our own family first.
Going back to the first thing you mentioned there, that God can be. Well, I think you were arguing, and it can be discussed with the truth. And that's Job tells us. Job will discuss with God.
Persuasive conversation with God.
Can be, and then, you know, there's the parable of the Lord talking about the evil person who kept asking for something.
Well, and I think Abraham did that, and Moses did that as well.
Yeah.
You know, Moses would get in and preach of people that had sinned a lot of times, and where God said, you know, get down to the mountain, I'm going to wipe these people out, and then Moses would stand and preach of them, and with his sister too, you know.
Yeah.
So, and Abraham, and I don't want to call that arguing, but begging basically that God would change his mind is more the attitude that I would take for it.
Is
he that
he
wants to?
Well,
yeah.
Should I shy away? That's to another, but it's the same thought process. Should I shy away from looking at the promises of God?
Yes.
Ain't that why? Even if I say, and I do this, okay, I'm guilty. I'll say, Lord, I'm going to do this. This is what I'm going to do. And then later on, I don't do it, or vice versa.
And the same man is making a bargain with God. Lord, if you do this, I will follow you. Mm-hmm. And I think that's just the same.
Well, Abraham did that, didn't he? He said, if you promised him to follow God, he said, keep me safe, keep me fed. So God didn't just crush it, but I got the picture in my mind that if I make a promise to God and it's broken, which, you know, I'm human, probably going to be broken, it's just going to crush me. It's not the grace that God has. And now, certainly, if we make a promise to God, we better try our best to keep it. If we can't keep it, we better start asking for forgiveness right away. Yes, sir. Yeah, let's see.
I don't want to mention over in Judges where Jephthah decides that he wanted to win the battle. First one came out of my house, I will. Oh my goodness. Well, first of all, he didn't have to do that.
That's right.
That wasn't necessary. But once you make an oath, to God like that.
There's nothing in the scriptures that says that he told Jeff to go kill her, like I said. No.
But Griffin came out of the house with his daughter. The only child.
So he made a foolish
promise. Yes, he did.
Yes, sir. We got one or two more questions.
And again, that's for all of us. Be careful of all this stuff.
Yeah.
Everything that comes out. And of course, if Jesus said it's done, no doubt. But since it was for the moment, we can say, oh, we've done it. And it's
been
perfect. Yeah. Again, but the soldering factor is, again, somebody else will pay for our sins. Now, he made that statement. I admire her daughter's response.
Mm-hmm.
She understood father, but that's what she said to God.
I guess if we could sum it up, and then we could sum it up for a few seconds, I'll sum it up for a all of this is very good, John. Very good conversation. I'll probably spend a bit more time to that and listen to me about my gun. But the main thing is, I think, everything I needed to know, I learned in kindergarten. Everything I needed to know about Christianity, I have to learn the Bible, Vacation Bible School. Okay? There's a song we sang Vacation Bible School on the paper. Be careful with them. Be careful with them, brain. Mind what you think. Those kinds of things. Okay, you've been a fantastic class. I appreciate your participation. You know, really
thank you.
Thank you very much.
Great job.